Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lodge. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and let's close a plot hole from the end of the John and Lance show. If you were listening to News of the Weird, at the very end, John was hoping the Texans would wear their all-whites with the red helmets. Sadly, John doesn't get his wish. The Texans announced it, as I was saying, they had already announced it. They're going to be wearing their all-white uniforms with the blue helmets, the traditional blues that we see quite a bit, except for the time they put on their H-Town blue, and they had that different helmet on, so a reasonable combo. The Jets will be going in all black, I guess, because of Halloween. So there it is. If you're wondering what your Texans would look like tonight, actually look like tonight, as opposed to what you want to see on the field, that's the color combo, uniform combo for tonight's game. I was thinking of this because we think a lot about TV, and we talk a lot about TV, and TV sometimes has plot holes or story arcs that need to be completed at the end of the season. Well, the baseball season ended, and what are you doing? Get out. I'm yelling at Lance Sirlein. What'd you leave? All right, Lance Sirlein enters and then leaves.
Hall of Famer, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, a radio professional. Couldn't wait to a break. Where's he going? He couldn't have waited? All right, back to closing plot holes. You remember the story arc to begin the year? Ipe Mazahura? You remember him? That's the translator for former translator for Shohei Ohtani until it was determined he was stealing money.
Oh. Yeah.
Remember he was using Shohei's money to gamble on baseball and other things?
Like $5 million.
Stealing a lot of money from the star pitcher and outfielder to gamble. Well, the arc for season one of the Ipe Mazahura story is closed. The Dodgers won the World Series. And do you think Ipe somewhere, after pleading guilty to the crimes, there's like music playing underneath, and it's like, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Shohei wins the World Series. What I did, taking the fall, being the fall guy, there's just this smile of satisfaction coming across his face and saying, all right, this is what it's all about. My guy. If we're under the impression that this is all a sham and, you know, Shohei was the one actually gambling, despite reports of the contrary.
Yeah. If it is what we think it is, what
we would hope it is, because it's funnier for us to think of it that way.
It's just like we're gonna bend towards what's more interesting.
Yeah,
a guy actually getting his money stolen, whatever.
But using his loyal interpreter and asking him to take the fall, and the guy saying, "Yeah, I'll take the fall for you." It's what I want to be. I want that to be the story.
It's like a plot from a movie.
This is what I'm saying. Season one of the Ipe Mazahura story ends with his guy winning the World Series.
He's just laying back on his bunk bed.
I don't know. Maybe he's on house arrest. Maybe he's got an ankle monitor on him, and he's like just nodding his head with that smile of satisfaction on his face going, this is what you live for, watching this guy win it all.
But is it all worth it?
No, if you're going to jail.
Yeah, I think he's going to be spending a lot of time in jail.
Yeah, but he's so loyal, he doesn't really understand. And then you know what happens in season two. He goes to jail, and he's making calls because he thinks Shohei's going to take care of him, and Shohei doesn't answer the phone. Mm. And then that's when his villain arc begins.
Oh, that's when he becomes conflicted. Anti-hero, I feel conflicted for rooting for him.
Yeah, or he goes from a guy who was willing to take all the years to plotting his exit.
Now he's going
to
turn rat.
Or he just finds a way,
I'm not a rat. That's not who I am. But when I get out, I'm going to ruin Shohei's life. I will ruin his life.
When I get out.
Yes, whenever
that is. In 25 to 50 years.
Hey, I'm still alive. He's going to live only so he can get out and ruin Shohei's life.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's
He's going to be doing pull-ups looking at a picture of Shohei Ohtani holding the World Series trophy.
Yeah, because Shohei's stopped taking those collect calls.
Yeah, okay.
A prisoner, inmate number, and Shohei's like, nope. Click, not taking a call.
From San Quentin Correctional Visit.
Yeah, like, all he's looking for is some money for the commissary, and Shohei ain't paying up. What are we talking about here? I'm telling you, Shohei, in our story, get that man whatever he wants in the commissary. Make sure that account is full, because you don't want Ipe coming out pissed and looking for revenge. That probably won't happen until season three or so, but season two will be him coming to grips with how his man left him hanging.
Mm-hmm. The translator.
That's what we call it. That's the name of the show.
Thursdays on Max.
The translator. The Ipe Mizuhura story.
I don't think it's a Sunday HBO show.
It's not prestige television.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where they have they drop it all at the same time.
Okay. I was thinking maybe, and this might actually happen, FX show.
Why
from
not?
From the mind of Ryan Murphy.
And Clipped? From the network who brought you Clipped.
And the Aaron Hernandez story.
Translator. The Ipe Mizuhura story. Let's go. We already got you season one. Just got to fill in everything around it.
Yeah. I mean, season one is just what already happened.
That's true. You don't even have to work that hard. I mean, it's clear you don't work that hard in casting Clipped. I'm just saying it's going to be a little touchy with the fact there are multiple Asian men involved. You can't be as flagrant as you were with Clipped. We let you get away with Doc Rivers and that being Lawrence Fishburne.
And Blake Griffin, I'm willing to give you a pass on.
Yeah. But if you don't screw up the casting, make sure they're both Japanese. That's one thing you have to get right.
Okay, so we have Han from Fast and Furious.
See, that's a problem.
And the guy from Shogun.
Yeah.
Those are 1-2 on our board.
Yeah, let's see if we can get those guys, and we'll move on from there. It was a ghostly figure walk by in the other room. It was just Joel looking for the equipment.
Oh, yeah. I'll stick my head out and say it's in here.
Yeah. The Killer Bees will be at Nick's Place. Speaking of that, speaking of Joel, they'll be at Nick's Place, kind of like a preview for the Texans game. John will be out there, maybe Lance. Lance is making this flight to Indy to drop off his daughter for a Taylor Swift concert, and he's supposed to be back in town by maybe the third quarter of the game, so he might join John out there at Nick's Place. John's buying the first 12 pitchers, if you're out there. He's going to – or buckets, not pitchers – first 12 buckets of Coors Light he's buying for people who come up to him and want one. So if you want to watch the Texans with John Granato at Nick's Place and you want to do it drinking Coors Lights, be one of the first 12 people to request a bucket. Or just go out there, period. Hang out at Nick's Place, eat good food, watch the Texans in a game where, once again, the 7-12 block ain't very confident. You heard the guys if you were still tuned in from the morning show. We did our kind of predictions on the game, and despite the fact that the Jets are an absolute disaster, there's a lot of reasons to believe the Texans aren't winning that game, mostly because in the history of football, this is kind of what happens. Now, good teams overcome all the intangibles that suggest that the home favorite who is bad is going to win. Good teams find a way. The Texans are a good team. They're just a team who's compromised because of injuries. We talked a lot about what the Texans have to face. We got into it a little bit about what the Jets have to deal with. And frankly, their offensive line isn't as bad as the Texans, but it ain't great. And the Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson show is coming to town. And that's going to be a problem. This could be a weird, low-scoring game. Hopefully turnovers are part of the equation for the Texans. They get their hands on footballs. We just hope that they can protect the football against a Jets team who has good corners, has a good interior pass rusher, maybe the best in the game in Quinnen Williams. And we'll see Hassan Reddick as he is trying to make his way into good shape as he, you know, held out until the Jets and him finally came to an agreement. So Jets are talented, not good, but that doesn't mean anything really tonight. They can have a good 60 minutes. We're just hoping that they save that for another week and the Texans can get through there, get 7-2, because I don't know if I want to call it a gauntlet because the Cowboys at the end of it, the Cowboys are a giant mess as well. And by the way, speaking of closing storylines and plot holes, we have a resolution to the Trevon Diggs, Mike Leslie, I think is the reporter who tweeted out the video of George Kittle's big play and asked what Trevon Diggs is doing. That we heard from Trevon Diggs later, pretty much saying, "You can't be me. You can't do what I do." What? And he also said, "What else did he say?" He goes, "Talk to D's."
Yeah, he was like, "Well, can we at least talk about it?" And then Trevon Diggs said, "You can talk about
D's."
D's.
So we have the audio of those two guys coming to a resolution, like the Bloods and the Crips, holding up those bandanas, coming together and going, "Not, we're done."
I'm sure Mike Leslie's like, "Yes, yeah, like, I'm exactly like the Bloods and Crips."
He ain't got that same energy. I'm upset that this thing has been cleaned up. Why are we cleaning this up? I'm upset that these guys have come to a resolution where they don't dislike each other anymore. And all public about it. They had they're in front of media.
Yeah.
And there's audio of them dapping it up.
And I don't want to, give away the whole thing. But Diggs literally hands them a little can of nuts.
Yeah. So we'll play that audio a little bit. Yeah. Mostly because it disappoints me. I mean, this thing could have at least lasted an entire week.
Yeah. Are the Diggs brothers... They're self-aware of what their image is.
I would say
With Stephon coming in and being like the best teammate ever, yeah, which, right. Hey, that might be true to who he is, whatever.
At least in year one of a team.
He did just kind of have a pretty big falling out with Josh Allen, the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Sure.
And then he comes here and is like Tim Duncan. I don't know.
Wait, so his teammates slept with his?
No, that's Tony Parker and Brent Berry.
No, I was going to say, so his teammates slept with another teammate's.
Okay, maybe. Girl? I don't know. Maybe that's why the offensive line stinks. I don't know.
So a real Jason Kidd, Jim Jackson thing from long ago. I don't know why they stink. I do. I'm looking at 76 for why they're not very good. And Strouser. Strouser and Green are my two big points of contention with the offensive line. And speaking of that, we'll talk about it. The Texans considered making a move. Did they? We have reporting from Aaron Wilson on that. So we'll get to that when we come back. So there could have been a move on the offensive line. What did they decide? We'll talk about that. We've got more college football to discuss because there is a man that this show doesn't hold in high regard, particularly in that control room.
There's a lot of guys. That's true.
But specifically, we targeted this guy very early in this show's existence. He has a chance this weekend maybe to change our opinion, or is one game not enough? We'll talk about that throughout the show as well. Rockets got the Mavs tonight. The Mavs, it's a lot nicer to have Klay Thompson knocking down threes instead of Derrick Jones Jr. as your outlet. Imagine that. So the Mavs versus the Rockets, Jets, Texans, a lot to get to. We're just getting started here. And I got a question for Sean about the next show because it is Halloween. So do we know or is that a surprise? We'll talk about that when we come back as well.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We have a low bar when it comes to the Texans on the road because they haven't really performed that well. Now, they went in and smacked the Patriots around, and thankfully they did that. But they went up to Minnesota and got their ass kicked, and then we led into the Green Bay game with just don't get embarrassed. I believe that was even a clip on YouTube and Instagram. Hey, I'm not asking for much. Just don't get embarrassed. And they gave us that. Nearly won the game. This week, or tonight, excuse me, just win and come back healthy. Right? That's all I'm asking for. I don't care how it happens. We've already set what the challenge is for them. In regards to who they're missing, all the intangibles, and maybe even a lot of the tangibles favoring the Jets, at least tonight. If you scrap and find a way to win some game 20-17, ugly, you create four turnovers, you kick a lot of field goals, whatever it is, just win the game. And tomorrow, when I'm out at Bobcat of Houston and Lamarck. You ain't going to hear anything from me about, well, they didn't pass the eye test. We've already had that discussion. And that can be a discussion for a different day. The day they play the Lions. We can have a real discussion about, are they one of the best teams in football when they face the Lions and they have that game at home. Tonight's the first of three straight primetime games for the Texans. So the stories nationally were about the Texans and them not living up to what people thought they were going to be. They're going to get three straight weeks where all eyes are on them. So there'll be even more scrutiny for them to see. And they'll get Nico Collins back, it looks like, after today's game. So at least they'll have their number one back for the big games against the Jets. And the Cowboys aren't good, but there'll be a lot of attention either way. So all eyes on the Texans the next 3 weeks. And they got a shot to not the changing the narrative about what people think of them matters, because even then, it'd still be what we still got a good portion of the season to go and things can change.
Yeah, it'd still be like week 11.
Yeah, that doesn't matter so much, but for their own benefit, you know, maybe there's a self-belief that permeates and doesn't matter how the games go, but you don't want to get beat by another contender, particularly not the way you got beat by Minnesota. But you would like, one's coming home. The last time you had a contender at home, you beat them. You had a really good first half, and then the second half got a little squirrely. You'd like a complete performance against the Lions, but that's a week plus away. Tonight, win the game.
Yes.
Just win it. However it happens, you got to run for 180, and the Jets are incompetent offensively, and that's the way you win? Cool. I don't care how it happens.
Like you said, the next 3 weeks, they're going to be in the spotlight. And I think with the injury situation, this is the one where it's like, hey, the expectation isn't to put on a show for everybody while you're in the spotlight. This one is like, don't trip on your way out to the middle of the stage. Like, just do not fall over on your way over there. Because if you fall over, then you got to recover, and you have to recover when you're playing the Lions on Sunday Night Football. That's not good.
The Lions have the Packers this week, but they have put up a lot of points the last four weeks.
So many points.
So they are a team that's feeling good and should, for the most part, believe to be the best team in football. The Chiefs will hold but they're the Chiefs, and they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. That they will have they'll fit in that tier, the Chiefs tier. Mm-hmm. But if we're just judging by who's playing well and compared to the rest of the league, the Lions overall have played the best football this year, even with the one loss. So we'll see them against the Lions, like I said, in a week plus, not this Sunday, obviously, but next Sunday, Lions-Texans, big game. But let's get to Keith. Keith normally has potential street free agent acquisitions a team can make, and maybe the Texans need one. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Obviously, Texans is shorthanded at wide receiver tonight, heading into New York to play the Jets. Just was curious. You know, assuming Tank Dell leads the Texans in targets tonight as the new number one in the meantime, how would you, you know, kind of rank the next guys in line in terms of production? Do you think, you know, Hutchinson, Woods, or Mechie gets the second most targets on the team? Is it potentially a Dalton Schultz game? But which receiver of those second-tier guys, Hutchinson, Woods, even, you know, throw in Steven Sims if you want, and obviously Woods, Mechie, and Hutchinson. Who's going to lead who's going to get second in targets there?
So you mentioned Dalton Schultz. I would probably have him as my definite number two, but since you did kind of limit it to receivers.
I was going to say Mixon.
That's another guy, that Mixon in the pass game. We won't have, by the way, injury reports how Damian Pierce won't be playing.
Yeah, no Pierce.
So it'll be a Dare and
J.J. Taylor.
J.J. Taylor and Joe Mixon game for the Texans. So I have more hope for Hutchinson. I think that guy played really well in the preseason, and he made the play. He made a big play in the last game. I don't know why I have a feeling that Robert Woods is going to get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. That veteran thing, guys lean on that, particularly, well, coaches do at least. I think there's a shot that Robert Woods pops in with like four or five. I don't think we're going to have a big day from anyone.
Yeah, I think Woods, Hutchinson, out of the receivers, is the two most. I don't see a way, or not a way, but I don't see I don't see the game plan where John Metchie is second to Tank Dell in targets.
I agree. I don't see that being a
He's the one where I don't see him leading the pack out of those. Now, he could have the biggest play. He could have the one where he, you know, catches the ball, breaks a tackle, and has a 25-yard gain, and no one else has that. But other than maybe Dell, I hope, or else,
If not tonight, win for Tank Dell.
But I think it's between Woods and Hutchinson. If we're taking out Schultz, because I think Schultz is probably the safest bet there.
Yeah, I feel like it's...
Because that's what happened last year.
Yeah, I feel like it's run the ball a lot, try to target Tank as much as you can, and then find Dalton Schultz, which may be your leading receiver considering what the Jets have at corner. Is any Texan going to have a great day when they can use Sauce and DJ Reed and hold as much as they want? I might lean on a Mixon Schultz joint as far as who's going to be the bigger contributors as far as the Texans are concerned. Yeah. I mentioned this before we went to break. Kenyon Green's going to get the start, but it wasn't clear cut, at least according to the reporting from Aaron Wilson. They did consider Kendrick Green, who did not play on Sunday, and they brought Kenyon Green back in the game, but they will stick with Kenyon Green today. Now the question is, will he play so poorly that they're going to regret it, and they should have just started Kendrick Green? Pena, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Hang on. You want to talk Texans, and I'm sure some other things. I'm sure there's a prop at some point you're going to want to get to. So that's out there. So I don't think Kenyon Green's going to have a long leash. Like, if he plays poorly, you're likely going to see Kendrick Green. Maybe a lot of you want to see him to start. I can understand that. I don't particularly like throwing him in there, maybe lacking confidence. And you know what's going to happen. Even on a short week, we know what the Jets will do. They'll be like everybody else. Let's test this interior. Let's see what they can handle in games and stunts. Let's mug up the A-gap and see how they handle things. And, hey, we'll do some simulated pressures. Maybe we'll bring guys. How do the Texans handle all the tricks that teams on the defensive front will play? They have not proven to be competent with that so far. So much so that we've seen CJ through the first 8 games of the season be far more demonstrative when talking to his offensive lineman than he ever did or ever was last year. That's a sign of a guy comfortable, but it's also a sign of a frustrated quarterback. I still remember a couple games ago where he just took off his helmet, just lightly tossed it on the ground. Not a swing, but this was one, just an action of frustration because of what he had to deal with, and that continued last week. And there's no real indication it's going to stop tonight. So, Pena, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We will talk and play. Actually, we'll play that sound at some point from Diggs and that Dallas reporter dapping it up. One of the worst things to happen all week long for me. Terrible. Pena, anyone else want to get in? We'll get to you when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Oh, I didn't ask. He's not on air. So, at 12, we've got a known lover of Halloween coming in who dresses up for Halloween. Do you have what he's going to be dressed up as, or is that supposed to be a surprise for everyone?
No, he's mentioned it on the show. Paul Gallant, that is, one half of Gallant George, the Gallant half.
If you weren't aware.
Yeah. That's why we named it that, actually. I will be honest, I forgot.
You forgot.
He laid it out. Well, the thing is, there's 3 different ones where it's one thing for last weekend. It's one thing for today.
So it's like Halloween week for him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just the day. He's celebrating it almost like a birthday month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think Rip from Yellowstone was last week.
Okay.
I think there's a Jon Snow piece in the mail. I don't know if that arrived in time. And Tom Selleck from the TV show that he was in, the famous TV show.
Is it Mag?
Not Blue Book. Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.
Yes.
So he'll have a mustache.
Yes. At some point.
A thick mustache.
Yes. Oh, Billy Butcher was also in there.
Okay. All right.
So, excuse me for not knowing which one he's going to show
There's
up
so many.
Today.
There's so many.
25% shot at guessing it right.
Yeah, I haven't dressed up for Halloween in years. And last time I did it, I went as Quail Man. If you don't know who Quail Man is, it's Doug Fundy's alter ego from Doug. Mm-hmm. He wears khaki shorts. He pulls, like, tighty whities over the shorts. He wears a belt as his quail feathers. And he has a cape. I did that, like, I don't know, 8 years ago. Don't dress up. I don't dress up for Halloween.
That's more recently than I thought you've dressed
up. It was
up
a Halloween. Party or something.
Yeah.
Some dumb party.
I would have guessed, like, you dressed up the last time as a kid. You went trick-or-treating.
No, I didn't dress. I wasn't allowed to trick-or-treat. Mother was very
really?
Religious.
Oh, wow.
We only passed out candy a couple times. Maybe even only once. But, you know, you grew up in a religious household. In some cases, like, Halloween's the devil.
Mm.
So we did. I didn't dress up. So I... and. Yeah, I wasn't ever going to dress up as anything that would offend mother when I was a kid. So I was like, you know what? I want to do something stupid, and I'm not being I don't want to be a vampire. I don't want to be anything that's even remotely actually relates to Halloween's. I love Doug. I love that show.
Yeah.
I'll be Quail Man and be stupid as hell because I have to go out and buy white, tidy whitey underwear because I don't own any. So you can't get them in singles. So you got to buy a 4-pack. You never wear the.
Yeah, you got to throw out the other.
They actually never touch your body because it was over the shorts, and I throw the rest of them away. And then I repeated that outfit, and like, damn it, I should have kept them.
That's funny that I didn't even think about. It. They don't sell
single. They don't sell single underwear. So you at least not when it comes to tidy whities.
Yeah,
so you got to go out and buy a 4-pack or so, whatever it is.
Yeah. If they have a design, there's a higher chance that they have
it. But you need it to be pure white, because that's at least the tidy whities, because that's what Doug Funny
wore. You want to honor the source material.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yes. So there it is. All right, let's get to Pena. He wants to talk Texans. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Dale? Hey, if you were to ever dress up for Halloween, I think you should be, I can't remember the guy's name. He was in Pineapple Express, one of the hitmen. And he was also in the office of the warehouse manager. I can't remember his name, but you should be him for Halloween one of these years. But yeah, for the Texans, I can't be the only one that thinks we shouldn't go and get a wide receiver. We should just run it back with Nico. Nico comes back next week. Hopefully with Diggs gone, maybe Dell could come back to himself from last year. And no props this week, but I do have a question. Can you help me out with lunch? Should I go with the Firehouse Subs or Jersey Mike's? Thank you. Have a great day.
I'm a Firehouse Sub guy. I don't go there often, but if I'm picking one or the other, I go to Firehouse.
I've never been to Firehouse, but I have been to Jersey Mike's, so I say Firehouse. I'm not a big Jersey Mike guy.
I love it. I've maybe had it a couple times, and it's not memorable. Firehouse. I like it. I don't know how fresh the food is, but it tastes fresher than maybe Jersey Mike's. So I would go there. A meatball sub
lunch
at Firehouse.
Already, Pena.
This is my problem. See, he says he's not the guy who Raheel was calling Fat Boy, but that was part of the thing. We would ask Pena, why are you always out? Because we could hear the background noise. Oh, I'm going to lunch, and that's where the Fat Boy thing came from. But he said that's not him.
But then
evidence is building to that way. But you're not him. You say you're not him. So that's cool. Go to Firehouse.
Or Jimmy John's.
And maybe he's asking about lunch because, you know, he just needs a direction. He'll go at a normal lunchtime as opposed to brunch time.
That is possible.
That's very possible.
That is possible.
Pena, eat what you like. But if you're asking me, take a look at Firehouse. I think they have a better sandwich. Okay. As far as receivers. Yeah. Right now it could just be words at a press conference and things could change depending on how this game goes. But D'Amico Ryan said at this point they are going with their guys. They like what they have from the other guys. And the Texans have lived a life without Stephon Diggs before under D'Amico Ryan. It just happened last year. Now Tank got hurt as Nico Collins was emerging. But it'd be nice to see those guys be your one and two healthy, and let's see how it goes. I know there is a push to make a trade, but I wouldn't be trading for a receiver at this point. If they believe Nico Collins is going to be okay as soon as he is eligible to come back, he will come back, then I'm not trading for a wide receiver. I think Tank and Nico are fine. You would like to get a third, but we saw in this offense there wasn't much production coming from a third receiver anyway. Like, Tank is probably better than any receiver you would be able to go grab right now, unless, like, T. Higgins is available, which I saw that pop up on ESPN. I'm not sure that he is, but that would be a name I would be like, okay, he's better than Tank. But we saw Tank downgraded to the third wide receiver in this system, and he was not productive. So why do we think another third who's likely worse than Tank is going to come in? Maybe there's a different skill set because Tank would be used more in the slot, although he played outside last year. Maybe you think a big outside wide receiver or a different outside wide receiver coupled with Nico and Tank in the slot could change things. But I don't know. The pecking order feels like clearly Nico, then Tank, and then whoever is your third probably wouldn't get a lot of balls thrown his way, considering you have what you think is a good pass-catching tight end. Dalton Schultz hasn't had a great year. And, of course, you're going to run the football because Joe Mixon has been really, really good. So I'm there. Don't make a trade for a receiver. You want to make a trade for a guard? But we talked about this. How many guards that are any good are going to be available? Because Andres Pete has come up, among others, but he's not starting where he is.
I would. I would say that, but who was it? Cam Robinson traded for
that is
like
the
a six round pick. So there's always the situation of like, well, that's what the Jags did, but the Jags the Jags are terrible front office. The Deontay Johnson trade is another one where you're like, oh, the cost is not very high, but that could also be. That's the Carolina.
He probably was never a good fit there, and they had to get away from him. So you would have to go find a good player who's not an issue. You don't want to bring in an issue here who is on a bad team who's looking to dump, which is what people are kind of picking across rosters and seeing who could be one of those guys.
That's why I don't think, like, T. Higgins, beyond, like, the fact that the Bengals are still, like, somewhat in it.
Yeah, they're I think T. a game Higgins and a half out of the final playoff spot. Yeah, T. Higgins, you're going to tell Joe Burrow you're punting on the year?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Even if it means that you lose T. Higgins in the offseason, you're not going to – Joe Burrow's actually healthy this
that
year.
That should be his name. Yeah. Joe Healthy.
Yeah. Joe Burrow's actually healthy this year. You don't want to trade away one of his stars when he's actually out there playing really good football. His team just hasn't been able to win enough games. Julian, you want to talk about costume suggestions for me? Can imagine where this will go. We'll get to that when we come back. I mean, you want to call in about suggesting costumes? Hey, what about Sean? Sean's here too.
Yeah. Also, the guy from Pineapple Express in the office.
Craig Robinson?
Yeah, Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Well, surprising. You should dress like another black guy.
I was thinking Stanley,
I thought that, but I remember Stanley wasn't in Pineapple Express. So it couldn't have been Stanley. It had to be Craig Robinson. You can treat this like you're a quarterback evaluator and your editor tells you, hey, don't make race-to-race comparisons. Mm-hmm. Is there a non-black person in media you think I could wear a costume that is similar to what they look like in their role? We could do that too.
White face or no? How comfortable with white face are you?
See, we talked about the Ryan Clark thing. That's not that's not white face. It's too elaborate to be white face.
Yeah, that's
like
makeup.
Mission Impossible stuff. Type, we're pulling off the mask because that's our bit in that movie franchise. That's how good that was. The wig, by the way, looked nothing like Bill Belichick.
He looked more like Michael Myers.
Yeah, didn't look anything like Ryan Clark either, which is, I guess, is a bit credit to the makeup team. Yeah, it looked like he was going to kill Jody, what's her name, Laurie Strode. That's what it looked like he was trying to do. Shout out to Jamie Lee Curtis. Julian, I'm sure you have a suggestion that I'm not going to like. We'll hear from you when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So something just came up on my feed. Stephon Marbury II, son of Marbury I, obviously. He plays for Cal. You know, and this is one of those things where people are like, man, that makes me feel old. I'm trying to think what player, what would have to hit for me to go, oh, God, I'm old. That didn't make me feel that way. Like, you're younger than me. Can you think of something that would happen at this age where in sports where someone's kid is playing and you're like, man.
So there is one, and I think it's one you're probably aware of, but it's not really no disrespect to the father, but it's not really a reflection on me. It's more of a reflection on him. But Drake Kirkpatrick's son already plays at Alabama. Drake Kirkpatrick II, I believe, or Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. He had him when he was like 16. So yeah, like, of course it feels like it's very soon.
Yeah.
So that's one, but no, I mean like Frank Gore and stuff. I'm like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Gore has a kid.
Yeah. Frank Gore.
That's college age.
Yeah. Frank Gore Jr. Who is now in the pros. I think he plays for the Bills. I think that's where he plays. No. Does he play for the Bills? He might. Frank Gore Jr. We'll get to, Sean's a little busy, but we'll get to you, Julian, here before we get to a break here. You have a suggestion for me. Costume suggestions. Let's see how this goes. I don't imagine I'll take kindly to these, but we'll see. Julian, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? So that guy typecasted you, right?
Obviously.
Let's just be real. You are a darker shade, so he puts you as a African American character. So how about we reverse that? How about you be Kenny Powers or someone like Joe Dirt? Or maybe even with Eastbound and Down, Ashley Schaefer. Now, for Sean, let's do the same thing.
No, let's
How
not.
How about Pootie Tang? What about Jerome from Martin?
You
what
have
about
long
Blank
hair.
Man?
You have the hair for
and
some of those.
The all-time one? Look, Sean, if you did this one, I think you'd be roasted on the internet. They'd cancel you. Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z. Y'all have a good one.
You could do all of those as long as you don't put on the grease paint.
Mm.
You could, like, Art has you as 96 era Snoop. You just put on one of those suits because of your hair, and you could do that. That's what he sent as a suggestion for you. That the perm that Snoop had?
Yeah, yeah.
When he was at the MTV Movie Awards, he was standing next to Tupac, and he had that hair. I think you can do some of it as long as you don't take it the final step.
Mm.
Like, no, I literally have to be the same shade as him. As long as you don't do that,
okay,
I think you're okay. Now, because it is the Halloween season, I saw a couple kids got together, and it's really the kids didn't have any thought about this. It's the parents who got involved. One of the kids was dressed up as Tyreek Hill, and then two other kids were dressed up as police officers because of what happened in week one. Three white kids, of course. And, of course, one account was like, these kids win the internet. I was like, first of all, the costumes are not accurate because it wasn't SWAT police. It was just regular police.
Yeah, and they were Cuban, too.
Yeah, Cuban cops, yeah. You ask people in Miami, you understand. I'm not in a position where I can explain it all, but people in Miami are like, yeah, that makes sense. people who know that area, yeah. It makes sense the Cuban cops would do that.
I do worry, just going back to the Snoop idea.
Yeah.
That is just me wearing a double-breasted suit and a hat.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of – or there's just like other things that people would just be like, oh, is he like a mobster or something?
Yeah, they probably
would be like, no, I'm Snoop Dogg.
And I said perm. It was like he actually just had his hair straightened.
Yeah.
Because he had his hair down on his shoulders. Perm is what – Gen Z kids do their hair now, and they all look the same.
Mm.
Like, even if they don't have the hair type, they'll just perm their hair out because that's the look.
I don't know why that's the look. But
I don't know. We all know it's the short under cut and then the perm of the
and
top.
And then the curly hair. There was a time where I was like, do all these kids just have curly hair?
No.
It didn't cross my mind that they were going and asking for perms.
Yeah, Snoop had the flat iron. All those kids, if you see them, those influencer kids on TikTok, that hair becomes what, you know, they're trendsetters, I guess, and all the kids who of their age or want to be them do it. I'm like, everyone going out and getting perm, huh? Everyone wants a perm. All right. Perms used to be things we made fun of.
Wow. I'm sorry. Dan Orlovsky has this 5
overrated. He's overrating candies.
Number one, Reese's Cups.
Get him off my television. I'm looking at it right now. Get him out of here.
The rest of them I agree
like
with.
Like Nerds, I don't care about. Twizzlers are a cheap version of Red Vines. I always take Red Vines over. Butterfingers, whatever. Hershey's chocolate bar, basic chocolate. I always like a little extra than just a blank chocolate.
Hershey's cookies and cream is good.
Yeah. He's right. He's
right about four of the five.
I'm fine with 2 through 5.
He is peanut butter cups. Flagrantly wrong.
If you don't get the F out of here, it's worse than some of your quarterback stuff. This is worse than what he did with Anthony Richardson when he was like, I looked at the tape. The numbers and stats don't match up with the film. This is a worse thing you're doing. And this time you're doing it on television instead of Twitter.
Reese's Cups. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a worthy digression.
Like what?
What is he talking about?
I like double checked to make sure he wasn't. I thought it was more believable that these are his top five like underrated candies.
Yeah.
Or his top five candies, and he just has terrible taste except for Reese's Cups. It's like he likes the right one.
Yeah.
And then he has terrible taste for these are the overrated. Wow.
I'm not walking in the CVS during a normal time to go get Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm just not that big of a candy eater. But during the holidays, like if someone like Joel brings candy here quite a bit.
Yeah, the overflow.
Yeah, the overflow candy. Generally, Reese's peanut butter cups aren't part of that overflow because they're Reese's peanut butter cups.
The best you can get is like a Kit Kat or something.
Yeah. Maybe there's a mini Snickers that snuck in there someplace. But Dan Orlovsky, why don't you run out the back of the end zone again and get out of my face?
This is terrible. Terrible.
Awful. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. We'll also get into some college football stuff because there's one guy who has a big game. This show doesn't think much of him, but he's got a top five team in a big spot at home hosting the Ohio State Buckeyes. So we're talking about that coach, James Franklin. We'll play the sound from the resolution to the conflict last week in Dallas. Well, it happened in San Francisco, but regarding the Cowboys versus the 49ers and Trevon Diggs versus a Cowboy reporter, they have found common ground, unfortunately. His favorite Halloween candy is a Kit Kat. Reese's come on, man. Whatchamacallit is on his list. What are we doing?
I was thinking the same thing. I was trying not to react.
Whatchamacallit? He's just trying to be weird because he wants to make a point. Whatchamacallit? Who even thinks about whatchamacallit?
Yeah, I mean, what? Not $100,000?
Like, yeah. Golly. He has historically bad food takes. But the Halloween candy one.
I thought candy would be the one that, like,
easy,
he
right?
could get right.
So how could you screw this up? Throw a Snickers on there. He doesn't have Snickers on there.
I know. Snickers, I mean.
Basic stuff.
I almost don't even count Snickers as candy. To me, it's just like food. Like, it's just like, it has transcended the group that it's in.
Okay. We'll get to Mike Leslie versus Trevon Diggs. And now them dapping it up, piecing it up. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back as well.
ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.